Good morning, church. Let's bow our head and open the word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you today that we can come to hear your word, spend a moment to receive what you have prepared for us, to encourage us, to remind us, to bless us. And we ask that you to help us to receive this word of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today I'll continue the book of Colossians. Last week I got to chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, where it talked about we are spiritually complete in Christ through spiritual circumcisions, and Christ made us alive in him through forgiveness and victory the cross brings. The rest of the verse in this chapter talk about how to handle some dangers or traps that the Colossian church experienced on their faith journey, which could derail their spiritual life. So let's read these verses. Let's turn to verse 16 to 19. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of the angels, taking this stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and now holding firmly to the head, and not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. So the danger Paul raised in these verses are related to legalism, ritualism, mysticism. So in this passage, he gave instructions on how to handle them in certain contexts. So verse 16 says that don't be influenced by others judging you, and don't judge regarding legalism. Verse 17 essentially says, focus on Christ, the substance, regarding ritualism. Verse 18 and 19 is, don't be deceived by mysticism. So I'll just go into a little bit on each. Well, before I do that, just let me explain. So legalism is using human efforts to fulfill laws for salvation or standing before God. Ritualism is where one observes or practices ritual, such as religious festival or Sabbath, regularly, but without the heart, or has lost the value that it was done when it first started. So verse 16 reads, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. So the reference in this verse 16 is about food restrictions, special diets, or observing ceremonies and special days that came from the Jewish practice. So in the Old Testament days, God gave his chosen people many of these ceremonies. In particular, the ceremonial aspect of the law were put to an end at Christ's death, so Christians no longer need to keep any aspect of the ceremonial law, such as circumcision, feast days, holy days. These are not necessary for salvation, and Christians were incorrectly judged as to what they could or couldn't do by the heretics or others with false doctrines. And when I read that, Romans chapter 14, verse 4 to 8 came to mind. And it reads, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or fails, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person values one day over another, another values every day the same. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and the one who eats does so with regard to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and the one who does not eat is for the Lord that he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." So paraphrasing verse 16, rightly say, don't judge in the context of ceremonial law, not the moral law such as the Ten Commandments that are still binding on Christians today. So salvation is not dependent on your adherence to rules of religion. Adding these kinds of works to the requirement of salvation lead to legalism. Also remember Galatians 5 verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So don't let legalism, ritualism, or work to burden you. They are just outward observance. God looks at the heart. God hates those who honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Who are such people in the Bible? The Pharisees. As Christians today, we need to be very aware and careful what we do. Don't become ritualism. What do I mean by that? Let's think of coming to church here on a Sunday morning. You may follow the lyrics and sing some worship songs, but if your heart is not there seeking God or really worshiping him, but distracted and mouthing some words, this thing you're doing could very become empty ritualism. This thing of coming here on Sunday and worship, because your heart's not there, you're just following some lyrics, mouthing some words. And yes, I mean, I have done that myself. And sometimes it happened for a prolonged period of time, and I could say that it affects, well, if these attitudes and behavior don't change, over time, it really can destroy something that's precious to us, and that's our heart for God. So similarly, another kind of modern day empty ritualisms I could think about of is, let's say, during prayer times. If you let your mind wanders when someone is praying, if you don't follow along, I may simply silently say amen when it's done. So the prayer don't reflect what you're thinking, don't help you to turn to God. Feel like the spiritual truth, the spiritual impact would be reduced a lot, and you will miss much when you pray if you don't really follow along and pray. And also in this instance, it can also be a form of hypocrisy Why do I say that? Because by participating in these prayer times or worship time, it makes you look like you're doing something that's spiritual and valuable. But in fact, you aren't doing anything meaningful at all. You're just there. And the next part, I also done it myself as well. So in sermon time, I can turn my mind off and check my phone sometimes. Or maybe it's close to lunchtime and I think about my next meal and next appointment. So like a dangerous habit like this, taking our minds off like what we are here for, what we're doing, take our attention from why we are at church right now. Yeah, these habits, if persist, can really become dangerous empty ritualism. So so I just share that just to remind you that. And related to legalism, ritualism, and we also need to be careful in telling others to conform to rules or regulation that God don't oblige us. We can stumble others and become legalists by doing so. The first come to mind was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 32, and it says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God." Okay, now turn to verse 17, and it reads, "Things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." So all the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament are shadows. The picture of the true reality is in Christ. So in modern day terms, one may feel it's more spiritual to go to Messianic Jewish Fellowship and join the Old Testament festivals and ceremonies. And yes, they can be inspirational or insightful of the past, but if we dwell on them, if we only focus on them, we are focusing on the shadow, not the reality, which is Christ. Maybe I can explain this better by talking about an analogy. So I carry a photo of my family with me, and I look at them when I travel. So the photo is a shadow here. And when I'm back at home in the presence of my family, I don't need to look at the photos or talk to the photos. I could spend time with the real person and talk to them. It would be ridiculous to spend time with the photo while ignoring the people right in front of me at home. So this is what Paul say is wrong with shadow. If you still place primary value on a shadow after the reality has come, you are destroying your participation of the reality. Jesus is here. He's the source of life and the center of Christian's being. Don't miss out. Don't increase your distance from him. Don't focus on the shadow. Focus on him, the reality, right now. So verse 18 reads, "Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind." In this verse, Paul addressed mystical or spiritual experiences that were not from God. Some people were probably claiming Colossian Christians need to follow what they were saying because of revelation through angels and visions at the time. So Paul made his thoughts very clear about such matters in Galatians 1, verse 8, 6 to 8. And it reads, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not just another account, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." So people in all religions have their experiences, but they are not necessarily from God. We need to discern them through the word of God. We know that there is the enemy who wants to deceive us, defraud us. We know that the prize is the Lord himself, and the deception can come through anything that takes us away from focusing on Jesus, such as mystical means, false teaching that puff up our fleshly thoughts. Such mystic experience could be through false humility at the time where people were too sinful or poor to approach God directly, or at least that's the teachings and saying then, that people were too sinful or poor to approach God directly, so they needed to go through angelic mediator to intercede for them. And if you did not worship angels, you could not be saved. Such were false doctrines. For we have been commanded to worship God only. So clearly, the Bible talks about we can only worship God, but other teachings say that we need to pray to angels in order to get closer to God. So that's fundamentally contradictory to the Bible. I think we need to know that while it does take humility to see that we ourselves are unworthy to have direct contact with God, the worship of anything else as a substitute is still wrong. So Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can come with confidence directly before God's throne of grace to help in time of need. So yes, praise God that we can go to him directly, even though we are not worthy. In terms of modern day praying to angels, I guess one form of it could be praying to Jesus' mother, Mary, to intercede for us, as some Catholics do. Other forms of modern-day mysticism could be astrology, Ouija board, tarot cards, feng shui, or some holy man guru. So the danger is that they take us away from knowing God and defrauding us of the prize, robbing us of the opportunity to continue to experience the love, joy, and peace of God right now. Okay, verse 19, "And not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God." This verse is saying that a person involved in this kind of teaching cuts herself off from the head. We know that if head is cut off from the body, the person dies. Paul is saying that such wrong teaching leads one to lose connection with the head of the church, that is Christ. The person is no longer fed by teachers or shepherds or other parts of the body, So growth stops. So the loss of connection with will lead to ritualism or being dependent on ceremonies, custom or tradition as substitute for Christ. We need to be careful as rituals can come through habits as substitute for Christ. Some form of it could be like, for some people, some rituals can be like, I need to pray, I need beads to pray, or I need to dim the lights to worship. Or I need like incense to help to set the atmosphere so I could worship or pray. So these become like something that they must do all the time. In a way, they are seeking peace and comfort through these means instead of seeking Christ for them. So although these can help people to be put in the mood to worship, we need to be careful not to depend on them, for all we need is Christ and a living faith in Him. He will give us all the feelings we need. Yeah, I think today I'll just stop here at verse 19, and next week I'll continue with the next four verses to finish this chapter. So in the meantime, I'll just ask the worship team to come up. I'll summarize some of the key points for now. So regarding legalism, don't be influenced by others judging what you need to do, for you have freedom that Christ set you free. Do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Regarding ritualism, be careful that ritualism don't form habits that you rely on, that you depend on, focus on Christ. Regarding mysticism, don't be deceived. We need to go to the Word of God to discern. And we can approach the throne of grace directly for ourselves. So with these few points, I'd just like to ask you to think about this. Is there something that you do that is so routine that you feel you could consider a ritual? When you worship, when you pray, when you participate, like even Sunday service, is there something so routine that it's a bit like your ritual when you worship God? Also, is there something that you do that is so routine that you would consider a ritual? You could still do all these godly things outwardly, but your mind and your heart haven't been there. Can you remember what those might be? Maybe you can ask God what they might be. Or what about a habit that you can't do without? When you pray or worship, could that be in danger of substitute for your peace in place of Jesus' peace? Take a moment to ask God for His leading. Is there a need of repentance?
Be so true. thanksgiving, I'll be living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Lord God, we thank you that you look at our hearts, and it's our heart that matters to you so much. So Lord God, help us. Yes, may your Holy Spirit prompt us and prompt us that whenever our hearts are going astray, are not focusing or turning to you when it's supposed to, when it should, prompt us to turn back to you, to repent and turn back to you. Yeah, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us turn to corporate prayer. And let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Yes, we also want to pray for those who don't know Jesus and suffering from illness. Yes, lift them up that they may know God and be healed. Let's pray for those who are suffering from other infirmities. We also want to pray for those who are looking for work. Pray for God's provision for them in the meantime, as well as God's open door for them to begin a new season in serving Him, in working in a new place. Today, our mission focus is our church plan for Singapore. Let's pray for Pisam Kim, the lead pastor, as well as our Indonesian fellowship spins, Pastor Salamat, and our brother P. Ernie for our Filipino ministry. Yeah, pray for God's anointing upon them, pray for wisdom for them to navigate all the different church matters. Just pray for and cover their family as well. We also want to lift up our education ministry, SPK's particular P. Lisa, and pray for more volunteers. Yeah, a lot of children are still not able to join the service, so we need volunteers. Yeah, pray also for Donald leading the youth ministry and P. Andrew for the college group as well. We also want to pray for our prayer and healing ministry, pray for our intercessory prayer team, particularly Matt, that the whole team heard God's word very clearly and follow His leading and to pray on different areas to cover the church. And also pray for our well ministry, our physical health ministry, pray for God's power, anointing on each of the minister, and pray yes, the miracle comes, God releases miracle in SP, and yes, pray for inner healing through River, that yes, we pray for more ministers to join, we pray for the leader Rachel to continue to equip, train, guide the ministers and lead the ministry. Pray for covering for her as she has many roles and a big family as well. Tonight we have outreach for SP Light, the Red Light District Ministry, that we partner with Sons and Daughters. Yeah, pray for God's light shine all over the Red Light District. Pray that His love touches many lives and bring these sisters back to Him. And for Home Ministry, we actually have outreach not tonight, but this Saturday afternoon. So yeah, pray that those who are lonely will feel and experience God's love and know Jesus more and more through this special Christmas season. We have a number of pregnancies, and we highlight a few here, Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, Joan, and others. It's pretty that the baby and the mum continue to grow well, that the pregnancy will be trouble-free, and that for those who just recently gave birth, also pray for wisdom for them to know how to take care of a baby. For many of them, it's their first time. And lastly, pray for house church gathering tonight. It's the last day of house church before Christmas season, before Christmas comes. So yeah, pray for Cullinan West, East Bay, Olympic, Roberton. Pray that they just have a great time and a koinonia with God, with each other, and just use this to also celebrate together. Lord God, we thank you so much that we came together to seek you, to be strengthened by your word, to be reminded for the heart for you. We thank you that we can also pray to you directly, not through any intermediary, Lord God. Because you have gave us your Son, we can go to you directly. This is such a privilege, anywhere, anytime. We ask that you to continue to give us the grace to keep this deep connection with you and grow deeper in you. Not just at morning prayer, but throughout the day, that our spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into your truth and onto your path. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to enjoy your personal prayer time, and see you tomorrow.